Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, and Reclaim Your Energy. I am Leanne Pruitt, your host, and I am so excited for today's interview. We have Kendra Adachi here with us. Hello, Kendra.
Hi, it's so nice to be here.
It is so nice to see you. I learned about Kendra a few years ago, I think like on one of her like ultimate bundle gifts. I don't know if you guys know about the ultimate bundle. You need to. I'll key you in on it later. But I learned about her from there, and I'm so excited that she's going to be here today. So let me tell you guys a little bit about her. So Kendra actually went to college to become a high school English teacher, but instead she became the lazy genius. She passionately and candidly shares how to stop doing it all for the sake of doing what matters. Her work includes hosting the Lazy Genius podcast, cooking dinner on Instagram, and convincing her three young kids that talking into the phone is mommy's job. Kendra, there you go. I mean, I think if you manage to do that third thing, you've pretty much done it all.
I haven't gotten that one yet. I still have to tell them I got to go talk to Instagram, and they still look at me with faces like, this is really confusing, but what are you going to do?
Kids, there you go.
Yeah.
So you know what? How did you, I mean, of course, you know, high school English teacher, lazy genius, but tell me a little bit more about how you became the lazy genius.
Yeah. Well, I had kids, I think, but I went to school to be a high school English teacher. I ended up sort of shifting and did some like technical writing and worked at my local university. I was like an event planner at a church. I kind of like did a bunch of different things. And, but I started writing on the internet. It's been about 11 years now, I guess. It was right before my oldest was born. He's 10. And I wrote about food at first. And then I had my son and realized I was resenting him for being a baby and not giving me time to do my stuff, which is not great. So I was like, we got to shut this puppy down. Like we can't have this. And so I stopped that business. I was teaching cooking classes and writing about food. And then I had my second son 2 years later. And I started, I don't know, maybe like he was 6 months old or so. And it's not that I was like, I can do this mom thing, but you know, there's something about having a second kid where you start to realize that the things that were really felt really important and maybe were to you at that time, with the first kid aren't so much anymore. So I started another business where I wrote about desserts and celebrities. Like that's what it was about. It was pretty fantastic. It was like Jude Law and cupcakes. It was great. And then I started to notice, because I had been on the internet for a little while, and even though I was talking about Jude Law and cupcakes, a lot of my audience were like me. They were moms and they had young kids, and not everybody, but a lot of them. And I just started to notice like everybody was really tired. Everybody was really sort of like always like low-key frustrated with their lives and looking for the next thing that would make it easier. And not that I was like, I had the answers for that, but I think I had in having my kids, and I have a daughter as well. She's 4, and she was sort of like the real point where I think I was like, wait a minute, I don't need to do everything. This is silly. This takes way too much energy. And, but it is also okay for me to do what matters to me. I think that what we do is, we either like try really hard, like really, really, really hard and try to do everything right. And then when we realize we can't do everything right, we just give up and we don't care about anything. And we're like, messy hair, don't care. My house is a wreck. It doesn't matter. Like I'm being vulnerable. And it's not that those things are bad or not true. I just think that we don't leave space for the middle of that, because both are very tiring. Trying hard is really hard, is really tiring. Giving up and pretending like you don't care is also really tiring. So I think it was very much a process. Like every job I've had, every job I created for myself, all of these messages have sort of been building to this place of wanting women in particular to not try so hard at the wrong things, but also like, it's okay to care about what you want to care about. You know, it's okay to want to have a decluttered house. It's okay to wear lipstick. Like it's okay to feel put together. But your value isn't based on either of those things. And so anyway, that's kind of, it's been a long path. It's been a long journey, as they say, but, and here we are. Now I'm the lazy genius.
Well, you know, so many things there, like I kept hearing that. Oh, that, yeah, that. So like the first thing is like, I think that one thing that you were kind of, that you mentioned, it's like so many people with their first child, they're so afraid that something's going to happen to the child and they have to do everything perfectly. And then by the time you get to your second child, you realize, well, maybe not so much. So that's like, that's such a key thing that people realize. And I mean, I think that you can probably even tell new mothers that, like, you know, but they have to experience it themselves. And then what you just said about, it's like, it's either or, it's like 100% or zero. And it's like, it's hard to be in either place, and you don't have to.
No, you don't.
You get to pick and choose those things that you want to do and create for yourself. And the rest of it, it's like, if somebody told you that you need to do this, or a society or whatever you think you should do, you don't have to do.
Exactly. I just think about, you know, it's really easy to sort of demonize things like the PTA, you know, like I have to be on the, I have to go to a PTA meeting, or I have to be like the class mom or, you know, whatever it is. And if that doesn't matter to you, like if you want to, you know, it doesn't, I was going to say, if you want to invest in your children in other ways, and that sounds shaming, and that's not even true either. Like, you're a person and you can decide, you get to decide on your own, based on your own boundaries and, talents and personality and desires and all those things, like what you're going to invest in. And you don't have to justify that to other people. But what we tend to do is we're like, well, I should be on the PTA. But then we see people who are on the PTA who like might really love it. Like, it matters to them. They're so passionate about it. And we just kind of like put people in camps of like, well, you obviously like are not being honest with yourself because you really don't want to be on the PTA. Like, that's what we're saying. But really what that is it's like a mask. It's like a distraction from us for the shame that we feel for not being that person on the PTA. So it's kind of like, can we just like let everybody be what they need to be and care about what they want to care about? And we don't have to compare what we care about to what other people are caring about. Like, we can just care or not care and it'd be fine. Like, so that's kind of what I'm after. That's what I'm after.
I love that. Amen, Kendra. I love that. That is perfect. So actually, that's kind of a good segue into my next question, because like the title of this series is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, and Reclaim Your Energy. So what is that title? What is the Ace Your Space and the Time and the Energy? What is all that? What does that mean to you?
I think the Ace Your Space, I would love to focus on the your of that and not the ace, because you get to decide what ace means for your space. And so, and I think that's one of the things that can be confusing about the internet. And like we were saying early before we started the interview officially, it was like, we learn things that work for us. And when we're excited about something that impacted us, we want other people to experience it. And that is a gift. And that's why a big portion of the internet exists. And a lot of us have jobs and it's wonderful. And then there's this piece that I think that we forget sometimes, even as a creator and definitely as a consumer, that just because something worked for someone else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. And if it doesn't work for you, that doesn't mean that your situation is like, you're not doing it right, or that you don't have it together enough. And things just sometimes don't work for different people. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And so I think for me, like, I love the title of this whole series and I love the idea of Ace Your Space. And I just would want to encourage people to focus on the your as opposed to the ace, because once you focus on the your space, like what matters about your space, your life and your priorities, then you can understand what acing it means, because acing it's going to look different for everybody.
Perfect. I love that. That's a great answer. That really is. So actually you got a mantra. It's like, be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't to yep. you. Again, we're back to you. What are the biggest things that you see when people get that turned around, when they're like, I guess, like you're saying, like looking at somebody else or being lazy about the things that matter to them, because they're doing like the things that don't matter because somebody told them they should.
Exactly.
What are the things that, you know, what are the problems that you see that people run into with that?
I really think the like the bottom line, there are lots of different like offshoots of that, but I think the bottom line is we're just tired. And it's not even, I mean, it's physically tired, but it's also like, you're tired of being a person. Like sometimes you say, and that sounds really dark, and I don't mean that to sound as dark as it is, but like, you know, we've all gotten to like the end of the day and we're on the couch and we just flop down on the couch and we're like, I don't want to do this again. Do I have to do this again tomorrow? Like, we're just so tired. And I think that we trick ourselves into thinking that we're tired because we have so much to do. And while there might be some truth to that, especially if we're putting energy into things that don't matter, you know, then we are going to be physically tired. But I remember, I mean, there have been tons of stages, life stages that we've all gone through where we're not necessarily doing a lot. Like when you're home with tiny kids, when you're home with a baby, you're not doing anything. And you can tell yourself that like, I'm not doing anything. Why am I tired? This is dumb. Like I remember, I have gotten so many messages over the years from new moms who are like, I just don't know what's wrong because I don't have any energy to cook dinner. I can't do the laundry. It's like, I can't get anything done. What's wrong with me? And I'm like, well, didn't you just say that you have a new baby too? And they're like, well, yeah, that's why. Like it's a lot to sit and care for a human to just sit there with them because there's a lot of like mental stuff that you're carrying. It is so weirdly exhausting to just like live the same 2 hours over and over again. And that could be true whether you have kids or not. Like there are stages in our lives where we don't really give ourselves any grace. We're not very kind to ourselves in terms of the season of life that we're in and how, we can, like, we just feel tired and we blame a to-do list, or if we don't have a to-do list, we blame the fact that like, well, you're just lazy or like, why are you tired? You shouldn't be tired. Like we're just always so unkind to ourselves in that way. And so I think that, and then that also makes us tired. Like we just continue to just be like, everything is sort of draggy and we want to live. Like, I don't think there's a single person watching this who does not want to live like a full, wholehearted, centered, alive life. Like we want to live that way. And we think that having like a house that looks a certain way and kids that behave a certain way and a husband who takes, you know, who wants to like take us out on a date night regularly. And like, you know, you run 15 miles a week and like all this garbage, you cook homemade all the time. It's like, you think that those are the things that are going to give you that life. And they're not, they're just not. Cause guess what? Do you feel wholehearted yet? Have you been trying out those things? Probably. Is it working? No, it's not. So what it comes down to is naming what matters to you. Like if you want to cook homemade every day, do it. Yeah. If you're like, I really love that Trader Joe's does half the work for me, I'm going to shop there. Do it. Like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And it takes away so much energy. Like if you spend energy on stuff that doesn't matter, you don't have any left over to spend on what does. Mm-hmm. And then that contributes to the fact that you feel like about your life. And we just don't, it doesn't have to be that way. There's a different way. There's a different way. It's called the lazy genius way. I'm kidding. I'm not saying a lot of new things, but like I think there's a lot of value in the collection of these principles that are in this book that can give freedom to a very specific person. So I don't know. That felt weird to be like, and it's my book. It's like, no, it's not. There's a lot of great wisdom out there, but I do really like what the book shares.
Yes. Well, okay. So you mentioned the book. I'm so excited. You have the book, The Lazy Genius Way, and it's coming out, like we're doing this interview in late July. It's coming out in early August. So it's going to be out by the time the series airs. I'm so excited about it. So tell me a little bit about the book.
Yeah. Well, The Lazy Genius Way, embrace what matters, ditch what doesn't, and get stuff done. Because what I found when I would read a lot of like self-help books and productivity books, because we all read and highlight a lot of those all the time. I kind of jokingly say, this is a self-help book for people who are tired of reading self-help books. They're like, another one that let me down. It's kind of like, it's not that there aren't important things in those books. There are. We've all highlighted like, oh, that's a good tip. That would work for me. I would like that. Yes. But then what we kind of do is we sort of like duct tape together like all of these hacks from this book and this inspirational quote that like made us cry when we read it. And then this, we're just sort of like putting together this, like MacGyvering together this life system. Mm-hmm. And it's just too many pieces. And then a piece breaks off because like you have a third kid and this piece doesn't matter anymore. Or like you lose a job or you get a job or you have a sick parent or you like twist your ankle and you're out for 3 weeks. And you know, like just, it doesn't matter. Like there's so many things that can kind of throw things off. And hacks don't work well when life gets thrown off. Random inspirational quotes don't work well when life gets thrown off. So I just sort of got tired of not finding what I was looking for in terms of like, how can I create a life, build a life, build onto a life that feels, that is that wholeheartedness. And so I pitched a book and I started writing a book. And it is not, the book that is out now is not the book that I pitched or wrote in the beginning, because I was like, all of the like chapters and all the content and everything was sort of categorized by task or by like stage of life or by room. It was too categorized. It was too compartmentalized. And I thought, wait a minute, are there like underlying principles to how I make decisions this lazy genius way? And there are 13 of them. And I was so excited. And so the book is 13 guiding principles that are actionable. Like you can do them right away. Mm-hmm. They are personal because you can apply them to your life. They're not like written from the perspective of a lot of self-help books where the author is like, this is what works for me. And then you kind of have to see like if that stuff works for you or not. These are principles. So it's personal. It's principles you can apply to whoever you are. It's versatile. And it's versatile. That was the third thing. That it's like, it doesn't matter your life stage. It doesn't matter what situation you throw at it. Like I have been applying these principles to literally everything. You can lazy genius anything with this book, which makes me so, so happy. Like it's so much fun. So anyway, that's the book. That's the Lazy Genius Way.
So I'm getting really excited to for this book. I can't wait to have it. Because like when you were mentioning about all the self-help books, I'm looking at these books behind me and I'm thinking, okay, that shelf with all those blue, I think all of those are self-help books. And nice. Yeah, how many of those are self-help books?
Yeah.
And have they helped? I don't know. I'm still sitting here, so they may have done something.
And that's a fair point. It's not that I want to like throw self-help books under the bus by any stretch, because I've read a lot of them and have learned a lot from a lot of them. I think that I want something that is a little bit more, like personalized and kind of longer lasting, that mm-hmm. feels like a really consistent through line to my life, no matter what it looks like. Right. That it's a way to see, it's not a list of things to do.
Yeah, I love that. So you mentioned the 13 principles, and I think one of them is asking the magic question. Mm-hmm, I was like intrigued by that. Can you tell us what is the magic question?
Yes, I can. I would love to tell you what it is. Now, the magic question is, what can I do now to make life easier later? Okay. So that's kind of the general question. What can I do now to make life easier later? Now, what's great is you're like, well, life, like that's complicated. What are you talking about? Life. You can substitute anything for that word. And there's a whole chapter on this magic question, because that's an entire principle. So you can magic question anything. What can I do now to make dinner easier later? What can I do now to make coming home from the grocery store easier later? What can I do now to make going on vacation easier later? So you're just thinking, and it's one thing, just think ahead, like, what can I do now? Like if you've got a couple of minutes and you know that something's coming down the road, like for example, this is an example in the book. One of the things that I do now to make coming home from school, when we used to go to school, coming home from school easier later was make a snack platter, which is just like a big plate and just pile a bunch of stuff on it, kind of like a kid's charcuterie board or whatever. Yes. And it doesn't matter what's on it. It doesn't matter what you have, just like put stuff on it. And I'd put it on the table and then I would leave to go get my kids from school and bring them home. And it was so easy because it's like snack is ready. It's kind of fun. It's pretty. They don't know what's going to be on it. They wash their hands. They go sit down and we sit together and it's like, oh, this is nice. Rather than the craziness of coming home. The magic question is so great for dinner. Oh my word. Cause like in the morning, if you have 5 minutes, you're like, what can I do now to make dinner easier later? I'll pull the meat out of the freezer because I always forget to do that. Let me go pull the meat out of the freezer. So like you just, as you start to ask the magic question, even like stuff with relationships, like what can, and that's why I love these principles and this one in particular, because they can work for anything. Like, what can I do now to make this friendship easier later? You know, like, oh, I don't have to hide the fact that today's been a bad day. Maybe I can tell her that today's been hard and we can start to kind of like be vulnerable. I'll just tell her about this one situation. And then that kind of plants a seed for later for that relationship, because I want it to go past just standing by the swings in the neighborhood park. I would really like to get to know this person more. And so what can I do now to make that happen later? I'm going to be vulnerable right now, just right now. You know, so it can really work for anything.
I really love that. And when you said that, when you told me the magic question, so many things came to mind. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I can do that. So
you're
right. That is a magic question.
It's magic. It really is. It's wild. And the magic in it, and I want to say too, the magic in it is not to think of 37 things you could do now. It's just one. One thing can I do now to make whatever it is easier later? Because if you start doing the 37, then you're just doing the later right now. And then you forget what you did. And then you're tired again. So like, we got to chill. We got to just like stop trying to do it all at once. Just do one thing now. And it really does make a huge difference.
Perfect. I love that. Now, and of course that's actually a huge tip right there. But what tips could you give people to like free their time and reclaim their energy?
I think that, well, I think in terms of time and energy, we spend our energy and our time tending to what feels important or what feels urgent. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that there are a couple of principles in the book that kind of address that. One is setting house rules, where you kind of find the thing that is like the starting point of when everything starts to fall apart. When like you don't have, your time is just putting out fires and your energy is exhausted because you're like, I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't want to put out all these fires right now. Like, what is happening? Now, sometimes you don't have any control. Like the dog pees on the carpet at the same time that a kid like empties an entire bottle of dish soap and dinner's burning it. You know, like sometimes stuff like that happens. And you're doing fine. You're doing great. Like you're really doing great. Even if that happens, it's okay. But house rules, I think, are things that can, if you just sort of like think and back up to like, when did this start falling apart? Mm-hmm. Can I put one thing in place, like right here, to stop that line of dominoes, of horrible dominoes from like falling on each other? Like, what can I do to stop that? I'm going to set a house rule. I'm going to set this thing. So like one of ours is to put, when kids come home from school, they put their book bags on the counter, because what they would do is the afternoon, they come in, they threw everything down on the floor. The boys wanted to show me their stuff from school and they'd open their book bags and stuff's flying everywhere. Annie, my daughter, would pick up a piece of art that one of the boys did. And she'd rip it in half. This one started to scream at her. This one started to scream at him for screaming at her. And I'm just like, I haven't even put my purse down. Like, what is happening? You know, like it just became. And when I started to trace back the explosions of the afternoon, they don't even see the snack platter yet because they're all yelling at each other, you know? Mm-hmm. When I started to trace it back, I was like, oh, it's the book bags on the floor, because she can get to them. And they're also throwing everything everywhere. Like, what if we put them on the counter? So that's a house rule we have, book bags on the counter. It doesn't happen anymore. Like those kinds of explosions don't happen anymore. So I think that in terms of like our time and energy, if you think about where are you like, I don't want to spend any more energy on this. I spend way too much time on this. Try and trace back. Like if there's a consistent time or consistent task, or, you know, maybe it's cleaning up art supplies for your kids, you know, because I feel like that's an area of decluttering, of like, there's just so much stuff all the time. There's so many markers all over the place. So if you kind of think like, what is your frustration there? Like with, you spend so much time and so much energy doing this thing and you'd rather be doing something different. What is your frustration here? Well, you can think like, is it because I'm picking markers up from all over the house? Is it just because maybe there's not a place for markers to go. Like maybe you just need a place for the markers to go, for all of them to go. You know, and start there with that one simple thing and see how it affects. You don't have to like reorganize your entire cabinet. You don't have to buy some sort of marker caddy. You don't have to get new markers because maybe the markers are everywhere because the kids don't like the markers. It could just be that there's no place to put them. And so when you say, hey, kids, clean up the markers, they're like, I don't know what that means, because there are different places for them. And so they end up in your bathroom. So it's just like trying to name the frustration, see it as information. It is not a judgment. It is not a value judgment on you. It is not a moral decision. It does not impact who you are as a person or a mother or whatever. They're just markers. Right. Just go like, this bothers me. How can I back up so that all of that stuff that bothers me might not happen at all?
I love that. That's great. That's a great idea. Okay. I've got a couple more questions for you. So if you're about to enter a fight in a boxing title, you're about to be in a boxing title match.
Okay.
Walking into the ring.
Yeah.
What song is playing when you're walking into the ring?
That question is so rad. Oh my gosh. I also, because like, I kind of want that to happen. I have no athletic ability. Like it's really a joke. I love sports with my whole heart. Like I wanted to be a sportscaster. That was like my dream job for up until like going into college. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. And so I decided to be an English teacher because those things make a lot of sense. But, this is like a side note. It was like an office like team builder things. It was like an obstacle course and like challenges and stuff. And one of the things we had to do was to throw a football, and like whoever threw the football the furthest or whatever. And there was this joke of like, oh, Kendra's like she's like a closet, like really great athlete because she loves sports so much. And I'm like, you guys don't understand. There's a difference in loving sports and being able to play them. Leanne, I threw the football, and it just went straight down in front of me. Like it didn't go anywhere. It was so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing. But I was like, I know how to play football, like conceptually,
yes.
Not like in execution. So anyway, so just imagining that I'm like cool enough to come out and like be in a boxing ring. Oh, it's okay. It's just the coolest. I think that it would probably be Right Now, because I am newly on the Hamilton bandwagon, and I love the song Right Hand Man. That's like my favorite song from the whole thing, because that's like George Washington's introduction song. I don't know. That feels like a rad song to come out to. So I think I would pick Right Hand Man from Hamilton.
Okay. Got it. I love that.
Yeah.
Now I have another one of those kind of rad questions for you. Mm-hmm. So how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were?
Oh my gosh. This is the easiest question to answer ever. I feel like I've been 43 since I was 12. Like not even
it.
Like it's the weirdest thing. I can't, I'm 38 now. I cannot wait to get to 43. Like I've already decided I'm not really going to have a 40th birthday party. Like my birthday is 2 days after Christmas. So it's kind of hard to have parties because everyone's like with grandma and stuff. But I've been like, I'm going to have a blowout when I turn 43, because then I'm like, I'm here. Like there's something about feeling, I've just been 43 for so long. So yeah, 43, it's crazy.
You know what? I think that you need to like, the whole year needs to be like a celebratory year. It's like, just have a party. Have the whole year.
Leanne, that's genius. Of course I am. Why would I not celebrate the entire year? The year of 43 is like my year. I can't wait. Not that I'm like not living now, but I've always felt 43.
It's okay. Got it. I love that. Now, I think you have a gift for the audience.
I do. Yes. Okay. So there is, all right. I love getting like digital things, you know, like fun things that you can like apply to your life. Like we've already said, like hacks and all this stuff. It's so much fun. But sometimes like the ones that are super long, you're like, you just can't really find time to engage in as much as you would want to. Mm-hmm. And so I have something that you can use right now. It's one page. You could put it on your fridge. It's designed. It's super, super cute. And it's basically 10 steps to keeping a home. And they are really simple, but actionable things, perspectives. It's not necessarily things for you to do, but it's ways that you can see that they affect what you do. Because the doing is important as well. That's why the end of the subtitle of my book, it's not just like embrace what matters and ditch what doesn't. It's also, and get stuff done. like we still got to do stuff. Like we still have to do stuff. So it is a way to kind of like adjust, like, oh, how you see cleaning your house and tidying your house and decluttering your house, so that when you actually do the steps and maybe apply the hacks that you've learned, apply different strategies that you actually like and work for you, the lens with which you see those things just changes, because you're not doing it like, oh, I have to get this done, or this is, you know, not that I'm going to tell you to like whistle while you work and it's all going to be fine, because that's garbage. But perspective is a huge place to start with things. And so it's 10 principles, really 10 principles of keeping a home. And it's really pretty. And you can just like put it on your fridge, or put it, if you've got like a little cleaning space where you have all of those bottles of Method cleaner that you got on sale at Target and they're still in there because they're so pretty. You could put that like there with your cleaning stuff, and you just kind of look at it really quick before you go and clean or tidy. And I think it can really affect those times of taking care of your house.
I love that. That's going to be so useful, because you know what? You are so right. It's so often it's how we think about what it is that we're going to do that governs how we feel. If you think, oh, I got to do it, versus, oh, I get to do it. It's like, there's just, I can't wait for that. That's going to be so useful. Yeah. And you know what, audience, there's going to be a link to that below somewhere around this interview. So you'll be able to really easily get that. So you know what, I have so enjoyed talking with you. I wonder if you have just one action or one thing that you can leave the audience with, to help them declutter their life, like one actionable thing. What would that be?
I think that my thing is to keep only the things that are essential, and to only keep the things that are essential to what matters. Because I think when we hear people talk about like living essentially, living minimally, you know, you see homes that like they declutter in a minute because they don't have anything. And you're like, well, that looks nice. But also I have all these other things. I have kids and they have toys and, you know, stuff. And so to start with naming what matters to you, and then keep what is essential to what matters. Keep what is essential to support what matters. Because otherwise you're just going to like throw everything away. You're going to get out those big black trash bags and just dump everything and take it to Goodwill. And then your son is like, where's my big box of like dinosaurs? And you're like, I got rid of them because I was tired of looking at them. Like that's not, I've done that before. That's not a real story. It's fine. So it is about essentializing, but essentializing what matters to you. Like if something matters, keep what is essential to that, and then you can get rid of other things. So naming, even sometimes I will walk through a different rooms. I'll do it room by room. So like go into one room, start with one room, go into a room and be like, what matters here? Like truly what matters in here? Is it, you know, if it's the kitchen, it's like what matters in here is connection. What matters in here is that we just spend time together around really good food. And it's okay that it might always be brown or red. You know, like you can sort of name the things that matter. And then if you have like a fancy, let's say that you're like, something that doesn't matter necessarily is to have elaborate, fresh side vegetables all the time because no one really eats them. And they also just make you tired making them. And you have this like cabinet full of things that you got from the Home Shopping Network that are supposed to make cooking pretty side vegetable side dishes. You're like, this is not essential to what matters. We're going to get rid of this stuff. And now you have a whole cabinet that's empty. Price. So that's what it is. Keep what's essential, but essential to what matters.
Got it. I love that. That was so good. You know, Kendra, I've so enjoyed talking with you today. This was such a fun interview. I can't wait for people to hear it. I think they're going to get so many great ideas. From you. And I can't wait for your book to be out. I think everybody needs to like get that book immediately.
Thank you. I will agree. Get the book immediately. I'm here for that. I love the book. I'm proud of the book. I really think that if there's anything I've said that's resonant, the book will be a game changer. I really believe that.
Perfect. Perfect. So again, thank you for being here. I so appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Leanne.
And like I said, I know the audience is going to love this interview. And audience, thank you for being here and listening, watching. look out tomorrow. You're going to have another email from me in your inbox with some more really fabulous Acer Space interviews. Until then, I will see you later. Bye-bye.